Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Dark Side of the Moon. Today, I'm here with one of my favorite teachers, Tasha. How are you doing today, Tasha?
I'm great. Fine, thank you.
How would you like to introduce yourself to us?
Well, first of all, I'm thrilled to be here with you, Dark Side, and talking about school and education. It's where my passion is. I've been an educator for 25 years. And all of those years have been spent in alternative ed, which is where my passion and heart are.
That sounds really interesting. And the first question I have for you today, what is the experience that you've had teaching?
So I was one of those students in high school. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. After I graduated, I took some time trying out some different paths, and none of them really felt satisfying. I did a lot of retail and a little bit of retail management. And then my friend approached me and asked if I wanted to volunteer at my local high school. There was an alternative program there that interested me because I did have a little bit of experience working with kids, even though I was kind of a kid myself at the time. And so in working in this program, I realized that my heart and passion were working with youth, specifically in education. And so at that time, I figured out that I would go back to college and pursue a career in teaching. And I've been, as I said in my introduction, I've been doing it for 25 years, and I absolutely love it, and I hope to be doing it for many more.
I'm honestly very excited to be one of your students. You have been a wonderful teacher.
Thank you. Likewise.
So what's your, just because I'm curious about this, what is the worst experience that you've had with a public school teacher?
Okay, so that's kind of a tough one. I think that like in high school, I guess, experiences. So as a teacher, I try to be someone that's approachable, and I try to teach the student first and then the subject matter, if that makes sense. And I think I had students in high school that wasn't really their approach, and I wish more teachers kind of took that approach. And so I felt like teachers, sometimes I feel like I had some issues that affected my learning, some issues in my personal life that translated to school. And I felt like I had teachers, one in particular, a Spanish teacher, my sophomore year, that really didn't understand that I was having some struggles, not only in her classroom, but some personal struggles that made it hard for me to learn. And I ended up failing the class, and it felt really crummy. For those of you that have failed classes, it always makes you feel like it's a reflection on you as a person.
Yeah, it really does.
And it just kind of left me with a bad taste in my mouth, so much so that although I enjoyed Spanish, because I had a really good teacher in, like, prior to her, but that made me enjoy learning the language. But the experience was so awful that I just quit Spanish. And then it kind of hurt me later, because now I speak a little bit of Spanish, but I could have pursued it and been fluent by now if I wouldn't allow that experience to turn me off so much. So
yeah, it's really upsetting when teachers, like, push you away from the things you enjoy. Like, for a while, I actually used to enjoy math. I used to really find it to be interesting, and I thought of things in a mathematical sense. But then around second or third grade is when my teacher turned from really good to really bad, because my teacher quit school. She retired. She was in her 80s, and she had to retire. And when she retired, she was one of the best teachers that I've ever had. And once she retired, I got. So, do you remember the children's books? I think it's called the Black Lagoon books.
I don't.
So it's a series of children's books with a bad teacher in it who is literally considered a monster, and her name is Miss Nelson. And some of my listeners will know who the book series I'm talking about, even if I don't have the name right. And my teacher was actually named Miss Nelson. And now that I'm out of that situation, I find that to be kind of funny because the teacher in the book was horrible as well as outside of the book. And I found that to be really funny. And she actually took out the Black Lagoon series from our reading corner because because kids kept making the equivalent, kept making the equivalent between the two and co comparing the two.
That's awesome. Or not.
But the way she forced me to learn math, because this was just before we switched into the Common Core math. This is just before that, and I was forced to learn in a way that I couldn't understand, and because I couldn't understand it, obviously I couldn't learn. And she refused to explain it to me. Like, she outright refused to explain it, and I had no idea what the hell was going on. So I sit and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to understand the math, and she comes up and she's like, "Why aren't you doing the math?" And I say, "I don't understand it. Can you please help me?" And she says, "You should understand it. I just taught it to you." And then walks away. And I'm left sitting there like, "What am I supposed to do? I don't understand." I ended up, even though technically, since it was elementary school, you can't really fail, I still, quote, failed. Like, they didn't move me on to the next grade in math. They did for everything else, but not for math. The only thing I was really good in was reading, like, English. That was really the only topic that I was good in elementary school, because that and science, because even though we didn't have many things in elementary school concerning science, I still was pretty good in those two subjects, and I was actually in the advanced learning class for language arts for quite some time. But she almost made me want to stop with both of those subjects. She made me stop completely with math, but almost made me want to stop with both language arts and science. And I'm so glad that I didn't stop because I really enjoy those two topics. Like, thoroughly enjoy those two topics.
Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes like we're talking about, a bad teacher can, if they like, can ruin the subject matter for you and completely turn you off to learning in some cases, like wanting to learn anything, because you feel like kind of helpless and stuck, particularly in elementary school when you have one teacher that you have to see for an entire year. Thankfully, I didn't have that problem. I can't remember an elementary school teacher I had that I didn't enjoy, but I have heard students talk about being stuck with teachers that they don't enjoy working with, and then feeling, like I said, trapped and shutting down to learn anything, which is sad.
It's always a really sad experience when especially because now I'm watching my sisters go through that, Rachel and Rose. I'm watching my sisters go through that. Rachel's currently doing the worst. Well, she's doing good, but she doesn't enjoy it. Like, do you know what I mean? Rachel is my youngest sister, by the way. Or that's the names I give them, you know. Rose is my middle sister, and Rose never really enjoyed learning because she actually grew up blind. And we didn't know. Well, she technically legally classifies as blind, but she can still see things, if that makes sense. And she was forced to learn to read blind. So she couldn't see the words, but she still had to read.
Wow, that would be frustrating for sure. Someone learned to read.
Yeah.
How is she now?
What?
How is she now? Like,
she,
is her, does she have like corrective lenses or something to help her?
Yes, she's wearing glasses. Okay. Yeah, she got glasses at quite a few years ago when we first moved up to T, actually. When we first moved up to T, we all got glasses. Her eyesight was the worst out of all of us. And so when we got glasses, it was really strange for her to be able to see things. And for her to actually see the words, and she basically had to relearn how to read, which obviously she didn't enjoy because, you know, her teachers were so bad because they forced her. They didn't help her. They just forced her to learn how to read. And, that was really upsetting, because I would see her struggle and I knew that she was struggling, but I couldn't do anything about it. Like, what was I supposed to do? Now I help her write papers, and I help her read through books and stuff. I just, like, help her study it, because that's the section that I know. And sometimes I help her with science. But I'm trying to help her make learning fun again, because I don't want her to struggle. I want her to have fun, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I do know.
So to move on from that, I wanted to know, how do you feel when you're up there teaching or currently on screen teaching?
Well, first of all, distance learning has been tricky, because part of what I enjoy about teaching is getting to share physical space with students. It's hard doing the distance learning through a screen. But when I'm in the classroom, one thing I like is my teaching style is that I see myself as more of a guide to guide students learning instead of like imparting my knowledge or wisdom onto the student. So I like to see, I guess I see myself as like a collective part of the learning, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So normally when I teach, I teach in a circle or in kind of a U actually in my classroom, but I like to sit with the students and be like an active participant that way instead of doing, I like to lecture as little as possible and more pose questions for the students to reflect on. And that way I feel like it's more of like I guess you could say a symbiotic culture where we're learning from one another, because I feel like I learn a lot from my students too.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's how I feel, like it feels good to be like part of that collective. And then I also consider myself a lifelong learner. And so like currently with some of the challenges that we're facing, all of us are facing, because there's been a lot of upheaval in our nation with like social justice issues, race and political strife. I feel like it's cool for me to be, as hard as those conversations are, it's cool for me to be able to facilitate and talk through some of these big issues with students and help them like kind of work through them and ask themselves questions and be critical thinkers. So it's very, that's one of the reasons I love the work, is I feel like I get to be part of having young people work through some of these things that are kind of big. And this year, what's been really cool, even though we're distance learning, is with everything that's happening, I feel very hopeful about, you guys are Gen Z, right?
Yeah, we are.
So I feel really hopeful about how students are thinking about some of these challenges, how they're approaching them, and they're becoming more active than I've maybe ever seen kids in my 25 years, against standing up to injustice and being critical thinkers and being part of the solution. So it's kind of a long answer, but I hope that I was able to encapsulate what it is, how I feel, and why I enjoy teaching so much.
You really did. I would like to know, what made you choose the shape of the U? Because I did notice that, when I was in physical class with you, and I was very curious, what made you choose the shape of the U?
Okay, so let me ask you this. So you've been in a traditional classroom, of course.
Yes.
So think about how teaching looks sitting in a traditional row. So picture yourself learning in a row.
Okay.
And having your lecture.
Okay.
As opposed to sitting and facing your classmates and your teacher as a collective. Think about how that changes the feel in the room.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's more of a collective. It's not me lecturing. You're not isolated from your classmates, but more engaged in your learning because you're able to see each other and talk to one another. I just think it's a better setup. And I used to teach in rows for years, and then I thought, you know what? I want to try this. It wasn't my idea. It's just something that I read about that I thought I would try. And now I'll never put desks back in rows.
Yeah, I really do enjoy it, though, because I'm able to see the reactions of the students when I say something. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm being watched. So it is kind of nice.
Yeah, for sure.
So what exactly do you dislike about teaching? Like, oh, what's the parts that you don't enjoy?
Okay. So there's so much I enjoy, I guess, like probably other professions, like the bureaucracy. And what I mean by that is there's like the political side. So some of the things that, like the hoop jumping. So my favorite part, in contrast, is getting to work with students. But then in order to do my job, there's laws, there's standards and practices that I'm supposed to follow through with. And I understand that. The whole idea is that children will have like equity in the way that they're taught. But sometimes it's like you're trying to, the standards that are set up make you feel as a teacher like you have to fit in this box. And I don't prescribe to that at all. That's not how I teach. And so it makes it a little tricky that way. And then I think in the past, I've had a lot of great administrators for sure. But I think that leadership is really key. Not having a solid and effective leader in any job, any profession, makes it difficult. And like I said, I've had some really fantastic people. I've just, early on in my teaching career, I now see that I had an administrator that wasn't necessarily as good of a leader, that made it harder for me as a teacher to do my best work. And you guys out there have probably had bosses like that too. And it's the same. If you have someone that's not leading you in your job, it makes it difficult for you to enjoy and do your job.
Yeah.
Like I said, thankfully it wasn't terrible, but when I reflect back, it could have been maybe better.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the hardest part of my job, but it's really, I really don't have, and I will also say, as much as I love planning curriculum and grading, sometimes the hours can be really long, which makes it hard because that takes away from my other family. You know, I have my student family, but then my family at home. But I don't want to say that's something that really, like, it doesn't really bother me and get me down, but it is hard to balance time sometimes as a teacher, for sure.
Right. Yeah, I can only imagine how hard it is to, like, balance out your time and stuff, because I've read so many things about teachers being underpaid for the amount of work they do, and I really wish you guys got paid more than you do, just because I understand, like, how hard it is to work constantly. Because working for that long and that hard must be exhausting. Like, it must be absolutely exhausting at times, especially if you have kind of difficult students sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that just kind of makes it harder to work. So I'm, like, a really big advocate for you guys getting paid more than you do, just because I know how hard it is to work constantly and, like, not get much reward out of it. Just because, like, I tend to work really hard a lot, and mm-hmm. I know, like, that it sucks when it feels like you're not getting enough for what you do. Even if you don't feel that all the time, sometimes I feel like it'll just, like, cross your mind, and then you're just sitting there like, wow, I really don't get it paid enough for what I do. mainly because sometimes difficult students are a thing, and it's kind of like having difficult students. The best thing I can equate that to is probably like having because I practice magic, I'm just gonna throw this in. It's like having a higher level, spell that you're trying to get to, and yet you can't get to it because you need to calm down, or you need your space to be better, or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I would be lying if I said, oh, I've never had those moments where I've said or thought to myself, oh my gosh, I need to get paid more for this. But for the most part, I do feel like just working with, like, getting to work with young people is so rewarding. Like, getting to walk them through, like, their learning and have them realize their potential counts for a lot. And I would rather be in a position where I'm doing something that I really love, like teaching, making less money. And if I'm being honest, I mean, I don't make a lot of money, but I feel like I make a living wage. I'm able to take care of myself and my family, for sure. But I have a lot of friends in my life and family that are doing jobs making a lot more money than I do. And they hate going to work every day, and I do not hate going to work every day. So there is something to be said for that, for sure.
Yeah. If you don't love your job, honestly, just why do it? You know?
Exactly. Exactly. So, and some of us, you know, some people are doing jobs that they don't enjoy, and they're out there trying to feed their families and take care of themselves, and it's what they have. But definitely I would encourage, you know, young people, particularly that are in the phase of, like, exploring and finding a career, like, find something that you love to do, and then you feel like you don't have to work.
Yeah.
For the most
part. It's part of why I want to be a barista for a while, mainly because I feel like I'll really enjoy that. First of all, either heavily discounted or just straight up free coffee. So,
yeah.
Like, that's going to be great. I'll be constantly hyped up on caffeine. Let's go!
Let's
But I also, because I'm really interested in patterns, like that's always been an interest of mine, different kinds of patterns, and I follow patterns really well. I feel like having a job that is all about patterns, like being a barista, because you have to learn those patterns of the drinks. Like you have to learn this goes in first, this goes in next, then this. And
yeah.
And you have to like get a smooth rhythm eventually, and you'll eventually get that after a while. But learning patterns is probably my favorite part. Just because when there's a new drink, I'm gonna get to learn a new pattern. Whoa, cool. And then I'll also...
I didn't know that about you.
What?
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I really like learning patterns. I really enjoy patterns. It calms down my brain a little bit, because when there's something that I know, when I know what's going to happen next, I really enjoy that. I have a large fear of, like, a phobia of the unknown. It's always been a thing in my brain and in my life. It's one of my worst fears ever. That's why I'm actually kind of scared of people. Like, I'm slightly agoraphobic because of it, because I don't know what people are going to do. So it's really scary to think, oh no, what are they going to do to me? You know?
Yeah.
So when I know what's coming next is when I can breathe, is when I feel okay again, because I know that it's going to be safe. It's going to be okay. Sometimes I like when it's unpredictable. Like if I'm ever on a roller coaster, I don't know what's going to happen, but like, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm okay with it. Sometimes I'm okay with it. But most of the time, I don't like it. But I do heavily enjoy making things for people as well. And getting paid to make things for people sounds absolutely amazing. I'm going to be opening up an Etsy shop soon, actually, to sell yarn dolls and art.
Awesome.
Yeah. So... I'm going to be doing that here soon, just because I, like I said, I really enjoy making things for people, whether it be art, yarn dolls, or like different types of drinks and or cooking. My favorite things to do, though, my favorite things to give people is my cooking, though. My cooking or baking, I should say. Like, sometimes they'll look wonky, but everyone will be like, oh my God, these are amazing. I think the best experience I've had with something that looks wonky that I've given people, and they tried, was I made scones at home, for, Radha's class. I made scones, and I, they looked hella wonky. They were supposed to be triangles. They came out in blobs. They just came out in like blobs because I didn't have the proper tools to cut it, and the dough was kind of sticky, and like it didn't work properly, and I didn't have the correct amount of kitchen space, so I'm just sitting there with these blobs on a baking sheet, and I set them in the oven. I put them in what?
Oh, I said scone blobs.
Yeah.
With new creation.
I put them in the oven, and I take them out about half an hour later, and I let them cool and stuff, and then I serve them with jam, and I bring it out to the people, because the people in my apartment go outside together, and they chill. Like, they chill outside together, and this was, just after school started, so it was still like warmer outside. I bring out my scone blobs, and they're like, oh no, what happened? And I said, they taste good, I promise. And so they trusted me, and they took a bite, and they said this is one of the best scones I have ever had. And I felt so happy. I felt so happy.
That's kind of good.
Yeah. So my scone blobs are apparently a really good scone. So
you should probably make them that way all the time now.
Yeah. But it's I totally forgot how we got to this. I'm not gonna lie. How did we?
Well, you were just talking about how you wish teachers were paid more. And
yeah, yeah. I'm so sorry. I ramble.
No worries. Me too.
But working hard on something and then not getting much revenue back from it is probably really difficult. But I am probably going to learn the feeling of not of being a teacher, because I figured while I wait for my bakery to open, because I'm gonna just a quick rundown, because I'm probably gonna talk about this in a future episode, either that or I've talked about it in a past episode and totally do not remember. I want to open up a custom cake shop in the future. And I want to sell custom cakes because I already do special effects makeup, and I feel like transferring that over to cake is going to be pretty easy. Awesome. But before that, I'm going to have to get a degree in food science and technology, and one of the required classes for it is chemistry. And I figured I could probably be a chemistry teacher for a while before I open up my bakery, you know? And so I want my students to have fun. I that's one of my main goals. If I end up becoming a chemistry teacher, like I think I will for a while, I want my students to have fun, you know? I want to be a really good teacher because I'm probably going to be working in the public school system, and it's going to suck because I was broken by a public school. Do you know why I'm at this alternative school?
I know a little, you shared a little bit, but not really.
A teacher screamed 2 inches away from my face.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it was because...
Yeah, that'll do it.
It was because... this was 2 weeks into my freshman year of high school. It was because they were teaching us things that I already knew how to do. And for the sake of time, I can tell you after the podcast if you like. Like the full story, because it takes quite a while. Because it's like a 10-15 minute long story, just because I'm dramatic when it comes to telling things. Not like I'll dramatize the details. I'm talking like I'm a theater kid. So my words become very emphasized and I'll throw my hands around.
Oh, I hear you. I'm like that sometimes for sure. Very animated.
Yeah. But they were teaching us things that I already knew how to do. And I figured, and my parents had told my teachers, do not force him to do things. We are already transferring him to the school that I currently go to. Do not force him to answer questions. Do not force him to do work. Do not force him to, like, read books or anything. Just let him draw if he needs to draw. And let him listen to music if he needs to listen to music.
Yeah.
So I wasn't reading along because the teacher was reading out to us like we were, like, because the way she was reading to us, it felt like, I know you read to us, but the way you read to us, you treat us like high schoolers. It felt like she was, it felt like she was treating us like kindergartners with the way she was reading.
Oh.
So I don't like being talked down to. So that made me anxious, and I wasn't reading long. I was working on my most proud drawing I've ever done. It's a drawing of a guy in front of a cityscape. It's a physical drawing too. In front of a guy in front of a cityscape with a skull on his head, and butterflies around him, and it says, "Can't death be beautiful?"
Sounds cool.
I think I've shown you the drawing before. You might just not remember it.
You need to show it again.
I will. but I was working on that drawing. It took me 2 weeks to draw because I drew in each and every single window of the cityscape. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 buildings with a various amount of windows. And if the guy wasn't there, there would be more. They all have different amounts of windows, and I drew in each and every one of them, and the windows are fairly small. So it took me 2 weeks to do, and I was working on it, and the teacher comes right up to me, leans down 2 inches from my face, and asks, and I'm going to use the exact tone, and I'm going to get a little loud here, so fair warning. She says, "Why aren't you doing your work?" And I look at her, and I say, "I already know how to do it. I read ahead." And she goes,
"Yeah,
you should be reading along." And I said, "I already did the work." And already everybody is staring. And it scares the shit out of me. I am terrified. I don't like being the center of attention. I don't like people looking at me.
And we're only a freshman, right? At a new school.
Right. And
yeah.
So it was terrifying, absolutely horrifying to have everybody in the class staring at me. So I say, "I already did the work." And the exchange goes on for her to saying, "You should be reading along," and me saying, "I already did the work," progressively getting more and more scared as I start to tear up for about 2 minutes. Aww. For about like 2 minutes. And then she goes, and she actually yells this bit, and I'm not going to yell. She goes, and she opens the book, slams it in front of me on top of my drawing notebook, and says, "Read along." And I burst into tears. I bursted into tears. I got up. She forced me to sign out and get a hall pass. And I went down to the counselor's office. And she lied and said that I threw a fit, stormed out of class, and called security on me saying that I might hurt myself or others.
Oh, geez. So, essentially completely destroyed any chance for a relationship in the future.
Yep. And destroyed it. Annihilated it. So, after that day, I did not set foot on T's school site since. Like, I have not set a single foot on that school site. I have not gone on the same street as it. The closest I've gotten is to the Plaid Pantry across the street from it.
Almost like a phobia of even stepping foot on that campus.
Yep. I was scared. I didn't want to run into her.
See that? That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those teachers out there too.
Yeah. And she broke me. She broke me and made me hate school for a while. Just because of how she yelled at me and made me the center of attention. And I really don't like that. There's more details to that story, but I've told it before on the podcast, I'm pretty sure. But so if you'd like, I can tell you personally the details.
Yeah, for sure.
But so that is probably my worst experience that I've ever had with a public school teacher. I know I asked that question a while ago, but that's probably the worst experience I've ever had with a public school teacher. Just because it was horrible. It was traumatizing. Yeah. And it made me hate learning for a little bit, which is a really strange thing because I deeply enjoy learning about things. Like, I deeply enjoy it. And so learning about these things and then being yelled at, like, things, being told things I already know and then being yelled at to do the things I already know sucks, you know?
Agreed.
So I, for a while, didn't do anything. But once I got to this school, I perked up. I began actually enjoying classes again. I ended up passing, even though for a while I didn't do any work. I ended up passing because you guys were so amazing to me.
Oh.
Like, you guys literally... Well, what?
Our school's a pretty awesome place. That's why I've been there so long.
Yeah. It's
pretty mad.
It's really amazing. It's honestly one of the best schools that I've... Honestly, the best school I've ever had. So, I wanted to know next... let me try and get to the end of the questions that I have for you. You know. I wanted to ask next, what is your worst experience you've had teaching, just in general? Like,
that's a tough one. It's like, I did. So one thing that I can think of, so I had realized, so I know sometimes people think, and I remember thinking this as a kid, maybe you can relate, like, teachers aren't really human. And what I mean by that is usually they're able to, like, if they're having a day that's challenging for them, they're able to kind of, like, move through it and stay, like, happy and smiley and all of those sorts of things. And I remember I had just, my sister-in-law, she passed away several years ago, but I had just found out that she was diagnosed with a brain tumor, a cancerous brain tumor. And I was on edge, but I still had to go, you know, I was like hurting and sad and all of these things, but I still had to go to work and do my job. Right. Cause that's what we have to do as humans. We just have to kind of push through sometimes.
Right.
That are challenging. And there was this kid that I had in class, and I love the kid, but he had some things with his behavior. He had ADD, which I've worked with tons of kids that have ADD, and I was able to usually, like, work with this kid in a way that worked for him, and it worked for me, and it was great. Well, this day I happened to be on edge, and I didn't quite go to the place where your teacher went with you that you were talking about. And right. I had a really good relationship with that kid, but I wasn't really myself, and I approached him in a way that wasn't kind or loving, and it set him off. So he said some words to me in class, and I said some words back to him in class, and I told him to exit my classroom, right? And that, you know me. This isn't really how I operate in my class.
Yeah, no, that's very strange.
He went out to the space outside of my classroom, and he was sitting there, and I had to, like, kind of pull myself together and take some breaths. And right after it happened, I was like, wow, I don't know how who that person was. That's not me. That's not how I roll. The minute I walked out the door, I excused myself because I thought I need to tend to this kid. And I gave him a minute or two to cool down. The minute I opened my door, the kid just looked at me and he said, I am so sorry. I didn't mean that. And I was about to say the exact same thing. So, like, we both have this relationship where we cared about and had love for one another. He's a great kid. And we were just like, once I talked to him, he was dealing with some things that were really heavy and hard for him. And it was just one of those moments where it's like, okay, we're human and this happened and we're able to get through it. But I remember just feeling like awful because I thought, oh my gosh, I lost my cool in the classroom, which is something I told myself, I'm never going to be that teacher. I'm never going to do that. And here I did it. And right. So it's still like, even though there was a resolution, it wasn't my proudest moment in teaching, but I learned from it. Like I learned that, you know, that's sometimes where we are. We need to sometimes give ourselves permission when we're having these struggles to be human and to kind of own it, but then also kind of do some work on the front end so that we don't become explosive and do and say things that we don't really mean or that aren't really us.
Right. Yeah.
Still, that particular student is in his 30s and happily married and has 3 children, and we're still friends. So,
oh, that's sweet.
That worked out.
That's really sweet. So, I just to build off that. What's like the most difficult student that you've really ever had?
That's a tough one. I have had, so working with children in an alternative setting, I have worked with children that have a tough time regulating emotions.
Right.
And so there's a category of a clinical category, emotionally disturbed or ED. So I've worked with students in the past that have that diagnosis or clinical designation. And I think one thing that I have to remember, and I didn't remember this early on as a teacher when I started working with those kids, is that there's a girl I can think of in particular that was really, I guess you could say her energy, she was caustic. Do you know what I mean by caustic? Like she was just like, just angry, right? So,
right.
You know, you would say good morning. It was, you'd get maybe a dirty look or a sneer or a, sometimes even, can I swear on here?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Sometimes even a fuck you, right? And right. So it's like, geez. So I think like she was definitely difficult to remember. And unfortunately, it never really, I found out how to work with her and how I could work alongside with her. But I don't feel like I was ever really to be able to come to a place where there was like, she never totally let the guard down and she never was really like comfortable with herself or in the space. But one thing that I learned early on, it took me a while to learn, is that you can't take things like that personally. So as a new teacher, I thought, what did I do? What's wrong with me? How can I not reach this kid? But sometimes it is you, but other times you have to realize like this person is, you know, fighting some things that are really difficult for them. And they're not going to engage with you in a way that you would like. And so she's someone I still think about and I still wish well, but I don't know if she was ever able to kind of come out of her shell. But that was really hard for me because, you know, in working with me, I like to hope that kids, if they're struggling, they can kind of move through some difficulty. And
yeah.
He wasn't able to do that, unfortunately. So that was hard.
Yeah. I'm actually marked under the emotionally disturbed category.
Yeah,
I have been since I was about, like, since I was in, like, first or second grade. And most teachers actually that meet me now, you probably had this just now, don't believe me.
Spectrum, though, for sure. Like, I've worked with kids that are, you know, there's a spectrum for everything, and I have worked with kids that have a designation that's a little more serious, I guess, or
right.
Yeah,
for a long time I was that one kid in class that was super energetic and always up, like, I was up the teacher's ass, just like, ha ha ha, you know, that kind of kid. I was that one kid. And then, as I got older, and this is going to get a little sad, as I got older and my depression worsened, I became that one kid in the back of the class, like, that quiet kid. I've literally, this one's gonna get a little, like, controversial. I've had kids tell me that they thought I was gonna shoot up the school.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, straight up.
I can't.
What?
Like, in middle school, or?
Middle school, and, that first 2 weeks of when I was in T, and when I was in T high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you know you were putting that vibe?
No.
You're like, wait, what?
It was because I was that quiet kid. And especially after I started wearing all black, because I started wearing all black about, like, right at the end of eighth grade, because that's when I came out as transgender. And right at the end of eighth grade, is when people really started to make those jokes about me, which really sucked because I was also getting bullied for being trans. Because of that, I kind of just, you know, had to deal with him, had to deal with kids calling me a school shooter. I'm the kind of emotionally disturbed that instead of being angry, I'm sad, but I can get angry. It's hard for me to get angry, but I can get angry, you know? I know what it feels like to be profiled as that one type of kid, you know? Uh-huh. Like, I'm kind of, like, I'm honestly glad that I am not that kind of student, if I'm gonna be entirely honest. I'm glad that I'm not the kind of student that is too difficult to work with, you know? Wait, what you describe me as difficult? I'm genuinely curious now.
No.
Well, because I do have a special way for me to learn. Like, I can't write down notes or anything, just because it confuses me. So, yeah. Sometimes teachers don't understand that, and they're just like, why can't you write down notes? Like, what? And I just kind of, you know, deal with it. But anyway, for my final question of the day, what are the easiest three students that you have ever had?
Oh, geez. Easiest? Easy's no fun. I feel like teachers have, or maybe people, there's a perception where, like, easy kids or, oh, I have to let my dog in here. I think sometimes what people think is an easy student is somebody that is compliant and somebody that does what they're told. But that's like, I guess I like kids if I'm thinking about, and there's way more than three, so this is a hard question for me to answer.
Right.
But I just appreciate like being in the company of students that are engaged in their learning, and that doesn't mean compliant, that just means that they're like willing to push themselves.
Yeah, that's
willing to learn.
That's the kind of
I was just gonna say that looks different for everybody. So as an example, right now you're learning, like you've come up with your own creative project and way to learn.
Yep.
And I guess I appreciate that. And I appreciate also, we all have our struggles, but kids that come to school and they're able to not only engage in their learning, but bring something to the community. So like we have kids that, you know, bring in, like we were talking about scones. So they'll bring in baked goods, or they'll see a kid that's struggling, another student that's struggling, and they're willing to come alongside of them and offer support. So yeah. I guess like I can't really think of my top three favorite students because there's been so many kids that I've loved working with, but I guess those are just the types of kids that I feel I enjoy working with the most.
Yeah.
And kids that, like, nobody's perfect, and so we also think about like the perfect student, but there is no such thing as perfection in my view. So
yeah,
we're all human flawed. But if you're being a good human and you're engaged in your learning and you're bringing something to the community, that's kind of a dream student to me.
Haven't I told you my view on the word perfect?
Do tell.
I believe there is no actual thing of perfection, just like I believe there is no like the word normal shouldn't really exist. Perfection doesn't exist. It's just not a thing. We can all feel like something is perfect in our mind, but there is always gonna be somebody who dislikes it. Always. That is always going to be a thing. It doesn't matter how hard you work on it. It doesn't matter how long you work on it. It doesn't matter any of that. You can have hundreds of people praising you, but there's going to be one person, at least one person, who doesn't like it. Not to say they're going to like make you, like bully you about it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's going to be somebody who has criticism. There's going to be somebody who doesn't like it just because it's not their style. So perfection is not a thing. Perfection is different from mind to mind. That
correct.
That is my view on perfection. That is always...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was going to say with that, it's always up to interpretation, right? Like you said, normal. Well, what is normal? Normal to me is something different than it is to you. Same with perfection. It's like, what does it mean?
There can be a sense of normalcy for a person, but normal is different with every person.
Correct. So, I totally agree.
Those have always been my two words that I don't really enjoy hearing, because like sometimes I'll say them and I'll be like, ah, I shouldn't have said that. Now people are now like, oh my God, why did I say that kind of thing? Because I don't like those words. They just,
yeah,
they don't really entirely make sense just because, like I said, they're different from person to person. So what's the point in having them, you know?
I do.
So that, I actually just realized I have one last question for you. I forgot to write it down. What's your experience in teaching during this pandemic? How do you feel teaching during the global pandemic?
It's a soul crusher. So the thing you, which you've probably learned about me by now is that I'm a relational person. So I develop relationships with my students, and I love like sharing space with students. And right now there's no judgment around it, but a lot of students particularly, and this isn't just true for me, it's truth for other teachers I've talked to that teach high school, is that a lot of kids, for different reasons, and there's no judgment, but screens are blank. And so sometimes you feel like you're teaching into this dark hole.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little tricky that way. I haven't been able to really get in depth and explore stuff like I could in the classroom. It's hard for me to have, sometimes I introduce topics that are difficult that we have to wrestle with, and like topics that are hard to discuss, like race and racism.
Right.
And I just like this distance learning takes away of that human component or element. It takes away because we're not sharing space and we can't have what I like to call real talk when we're on screens as much. It makes it tough. Attendance is down because kids are having difficulty with social emotional issues, which is totally to be expected. So right. I'm not able, it's hard for me to know, like, is this student okay? They're not coming to class. And I hold on to that and I own it. And it kind of, to be honest, it brings me down. It's like, if I don't see your face and you're not coming to class, and when I say see your face, like I can't see your face right now, but I know that you're there.
Yeah.
But I have kids that aren't coming at all. I worry about if they're getting enough food to eat. I worry if they have housing security. So it's really, I feel like this is really a challenge for me because of those things. And I just, when that vaccine's available, I know some people have conflicting viewpoints on whether or not they're going to get vaccinated, but if it was available right now, I would go get the vaccine, because to me that means I'm that much closer to going back into the classroom when it's safe to do so, of course, but it's hard to do my job this way.
Yeah, as you know, I'm going to get the vaccine. We've already talked about this in class. I'm going to get the vaccine. I have immunocompromised family members, and I myself have asthma. It would not be good for my family to get COVID. So I want to protect the people around me. I want the people around me to be safe and okay. So, that is my main goal with getting the vaccine. And hopefully we can open up schools very, very soon. Because I know social distance learning is difficult for teachers and students.
For sure. That's my hope too.
But I think that's just about the end. That's all the questions I have for you. Would you like to add on anything else?
Oh, just that this has been like really fun and really reflective, and I hope that you are able to do more podcasts, and I hope this is something maybe we can even bring to our school community.
That would be nice.
I would love it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, everybody, I'm going to sign off for the night. I hope you have a wonderful day, night, whatever, and remember, the dark side isn't always bad.